One Man's Family, brought to you, transcribed, by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer, Nervine, and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard on the wood road as a party of riders trot downhill toward the Sky Ranch.
Well, what's so funny, Mary Lou?
Nothing, Daddy. My, look at Eric. He's really a cowboy, isn't he? He doesn't bounce at all.
Mm-hmm. And Jack is thinking as he bounces along.
Well, after all, man can't hope to remain a hero to his children forever.
The weather may have a lot to do with the way you feel, but I'm sure you'll agree that a good night's sleep is even more important. Yes, you must have good, sound, relaxing sleep to help you feel your best and do your work well. And on those nights when you can't get to sleep because nervous tension keeps you rolling and tossing, take Miles Nervine. That's right, Miles Nervine. It's gentle, soothing, and it's helped many thousands to enjoy more restful sleep. Let Miles Nervine help you, too. It's easy and pleasant to take, and it can be so effective in helping to calm jumpy nerves that you'll be glad you discovered this fine product. Next time you're in the drugstore, ask for Miles Nervine, effervescent tablets or liquid. Follow the label, avoid excessive use. That's M-I-L-E-S, Miles Nervine. Chapter 32, Book 96. Henry Barber, in his hammock between the two madrone trees at the Sky Ranch, has had a pleasant siesta this afternoon with the latest copy of the National Geographic lying open on his chest. It's 3 o'clock now, and into Henry's consciousness comes an awareness of distant hoofbeats, a party of riders on the old wood road coming down from the hills, moving on through the quiet afternoon toward the stables. As Henry lifts his head to look, he finds his daughter Hazel beside his hammock, smiling down at him.
Did I wake you, Father? Brought some cookies and a glass of milk.
No. I wasn't asleep, Hazel. Just resting my eyes.
Mother made chocolate cookies. Brought fresh, cold milk, too.
Good, good. Here, let me sit up. Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you, my dear. Yeah. I heard hoofbeats just now.
Jack and the children. They went for a long ride in the hills.
Not the little ones, not the triplets.
Oh, no. They're in the kitchen with Mother.
Sit down here. Good, eh? Your mother, the greatest cook in the world.
She's pretty good, all right. I was just thinking, when Mother opened the refrigerator, there in the freezing compartment, flat and stiff, Mary Lou's fish.
Fish? Oh, the trout she caught.
Uh-huh. Mary Lou wouldn't let Jack clean it, you know. She wants to preserve it intact and take it home in September to show Patty Brown.
Patty Brown?
A friend at school. Patty goes deep sea fishing with her grandfather sometimes, and so Mary Lou insists on preserving that trout insides and all. She wants Patty to see it.
Oh, they're endlessly amusing, eh? I watched Jack with the children at breakfast this morning. There he sat, half awake, sipping his coffee. He'd forgotten to brush his hair this morning. One of the triplets had interrupted him, no doubt. At any rate, there he sat, sleepy and agreeable, with the youngsters making elaborate plans for his day.
Mary Lou wanted to go fishing again, I know that.
The others outvoted her. Hike this morning, then a swim, horseback ride. I don't know what or. There he sat, sleeping, agreeing to all, too generous and groggy to resist.
And poor Jack. Betty always insists that he live up to his promises.
Yeah. If you promise, then you're honor bound to live up to it. Those sly little creatures always lay out the program in the morning when he's still sleepy. Very crafty indeed.
Here, let me take your plate.
Thank you.
Betty was saying that when they want Jack to do something they think he might back away from, they'll say, "Will you go riding with us day after tomorrow?" Well, day after tomorrow seems so far away that he'll agree to it. And when day after tomorrow arrives, there he is, committed.
Yet, I think I've never seen two people who enjoy their children as Jack and Betty do. I often think...
Oh, Father, I'm sorry to interrupt, but here comes a very tired buckaroo.
Huh?
Look.
Huh?
Jack, trudging this way. I think his riding boots hurt him.
Oh, I hope he hasn't a blister.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh.
Not only his boots hurting him,
hmm?
Apparently he's not yet accustomed to long hours in the saddle.
Jack! Oh, Jack!
Guess he didn't hear you.
He heard me. He wiggled his fingers.
Huh?
He's coming. Come on over here. Did you have a nice ride, Jack?
Yeah, what did he say?
Nodded. Come on, sit down.
Hi.
Here's a chair, Jack. Come on.
I just as soon stand up.
You know, your face is a little dusty.
I'm not surprised.
Here, you take that.
No, I don't want to.
No, you take it, Jack. Nothing in the world more restful than a hammock. I'd prefer to sit in a chair for a little while. Been in the hammock ever since lunch.
Well, okay, Dad. Twist my arm and I'll take it.
Can't you lift your leg over it?
No, sure I can, but I have to think about it first. Now, here I go.
Now, I'll stretch back. Something very relaxing about lying there and looking up at the leaves.
Oh.
Where'd you ride?
Huh.
Hmm?
Where didn't we ride? Those kids are made of iron, Hazel.
I know.
We went up the old wood road to that place where they had the forest fire that time.
Oh.
Still a lot of burned over trees up there. New growth hasn't really got started yet.
Yes.
Eric went with us. He made the kids quite a speech about forest fires.
They brought home some booklets from school last spring, a picture of a bear on it. Bear is some name signifying the wastefulness of forest fires.
Smoky.
Smoky, yes. Janie talked to me about it. Matter of fact, she was very stern with me, cautioned me against ever being careless with matches. Said I should always put out my campfire before I broke camp in the morning. The fact that I do no camping didn't occur to her. Yes, she gave me quite a passionate speech.
When you see that burned-over mountain up there, you feel pretty strongly about it. Bobby, Jack's asleep.
Hmm?
No, I'm not. As Dad always says, I'm just resting my eyes.
Hmm.
You realize what I've done today?
Been busy, I know that.
I was just adding it up. The triplets got in bed with Betty and me at 5:15.
Ooh.
Said they were cold. Couldn't sleep after that, so walked over to the meadow to look at the calves. Had breakfast. Then walked up to the stables to look at the colts. Then I hiked down for the mail to Sharon Ann.
It wasn't worth it either.
Well, there was your Geographic and Nikki's second-class mail.
More second-class mail these days. They're wasting whole forests making paper for it.
Then we went swimming, played a game of croquet, and then trotted uphill and down Dale over miles of the wood road. It's no wonder I ache a little, huh?
Sharon's riding very well.
Oh, they all are, Hazel. I'm the one who bounces. There's something about 8 hours a day in an office chair that ruins a man's seat for the saddle.
Yeah, never cared much for horses myself.
I was telling Betty, little by little, you know, a man ceases to be a hero to his kids. It was a big mistake to take Eric with us.
Why?
Oh, the contrast. He sits a horse as if he were part of it. They don't ride better in the movies. Don't see any daylight between him and the saddle. I was trotting along up there, trying to get my breath back, and I heard my daughters giggling behind me. Can you guess what amused them?
Yes, but they should be made to realize that Eric might be equally inept in a law office.
On the contrary, Dad, to be a successful father, you ought to be good at everything.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, that's a fact. Kids start out by worshiping you. My father is the most spectacularly wonderful creature on two legs. That's what they think. And until they're about, four and a half. Then the gradual disillusionment begins to set in. You can knock yourself out, but the hero worship leaks away. And pretty soon, no matter what you do, you're just good old Dad. A kind of a genial stumblebum.
Oh, Daddy.
Well, they find out you're human. And somebody call me?
Mary Lou.
There she is, over by the swimming pool.
Oh,
here he is, Mary Lou, here in Grandfather's hammock.
She's a new woman since she caught that fish yesterday. She's got it frozen stiff up there in the refrigerator.
Yes, I was just telling Father.
Won't even let me clean it. Wants to take it home just the way it is to show to Patty Brown.
Hi, Grandfather. Aunt Hazel.
Hello there, Mary Lou.
Daddy.
Hmm?
Are you tired?
Me? Oh, no, no. I feel wonderful. Betcha. Feel great.
Janie said you were all worn out.
Huh? Oh, not a bit of it. Feel like a million. Eric isn't tired, is he?
No, of course not.
Well, neither am I. Your grandfather wanted me to try his hammock, that's all. Just lying here looking up at the leaves.
Janie said she thought your cedar was sore.
Huh? Well, Janie doesn't know what she's talking about. I can ride with the best of them. I never felt better.
Oh, that's good.
Why, Mary Lou?
Because this is Tuesday, you know.
Hmm?
It's Tuesday.
What about it?
Daddy, tonight we sleep out in our sleeping bag, down at the creek.
Who sleeps out?
Oh. All of us. The triplets, too.
What?
Don't you remember, Daddy? Last Thursday, you promised we'd sleep out Tuesday.
Oh, I did?
You and Janie and Sharon, and the triplets, and Hank and me. This is the night.
Why didn't somebody remind me about it this morning?
Because Sharon thought it would be better if we had waited until after our horseback ride.
Oh.
Uncle Nicky says he's got lots of extra sleeping bags. Do you want to go, Grandfather, Aunt Hazel?
No, thank you.
Thank you, no, my dear.
Oh, Mary Lou, take my hand and pull me up. The truth is, honey, I am a little tired and I ache here and there.
Uh-huh. But you wouldn't want to break a promise, would you, Daddy?
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. Overheard at the corner drugstore.
And I'm so glad you got a look at my new boarders together, Mabel. I always say you can't ever tell about a man until you see him with his wife. Now tell me, what did you think?
Well, she dyes her hair, I could swear to it. But isn't it gorgeous? Oh, she's a smart one. There's no question about that.
Oh, I don't know. Last night I heard him say he had a headache, and all she said was, "That's too bad, dear." Well, what do you think of that?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it? Why didn't she tell him to take some Alka-Seltzer? Or better yet, why didn't she fix him some? If she's a smart wife, she knows about Alka-Seltzer.
Well, a wife is smart who does know, certainly. Yes, she knows that the headache and gloomy disposition that usually goes with it can't last long with Alka-Seltzer on the job. Alka-Seltzer contains one of the most effective pain relievers known to science. And tests prove the system absorbs more pain reliever faster from Alka-Seltzer. Easy to take and pleasant tasting, Alka-Seltzer lets your smile reappear as your headache begins to disappear. Try it and see. That's Alka-Seltzer, on display at drugstores everywhere. Here's the family again.
Tell you what, why don't we sleep out on the lawn and see how it works?
Oh!
Then if people aren't comfortable, we can come back in.
But you promised we'd sleep beside the creek, Daddy. You really did. You promised.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Relief from acid indigestion? It's easy. One or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, let it fizz, and there it is. A glass full of sparkling bubbles to bubble your trouble away in almost no time. So soothing, this relief Alka-Seltzer gives. So gentle. It gives you relief without acid bounce back. Because, unlike ordinary kitchen alkalizers, Alka-Seltzer alkalizes enough, but not too much. Try it and see for yourself how fast Alka-Seltzer reduces excess gastric acidity. In Chapter 33, Book 96, A Night in the Great Outdoors.